We'll commence our reading in verse 1, Psalm 71. And verse 1, let's hear God's word. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him. There is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto Thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery, even my truth. O my God, unto Thee will I sing with the harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Amen. God will add His blessing to that reading from His Word for His name's sake. Could we bow our heads together, please, and let us ask the Lord for His mercy for us today as we hear His Word. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, in Christ Jesus' name we approach Thy throne with boldness. Not because of any faith or feeling within us, but because of Christ's righteousness that covers us. And in that name, that matchless name, we ask Thee for a blessing to be given to the preacher and the people alike as we come to Thy Word. We pray for the liberty of the Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, for that grace to speak from the heart to the heart. Grant, Lord, that there will be today a word from the Lord for this congregation. And a word from the Lord for Thy servant. Father in heaven, we seek to glorify Thee now, and we seek to enjoy Thee. Let that be our double portion, we pray. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. And amen. My text this morning is found in verses 20 and 21, where David says, Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." Although this psalm has no title to it, almost all commentators are agreed that the handwriting of David is all over it. One of the great lessons taught by so many of the Davidic Psalms, and yet one that is so often forgot by the people of God, is that the best of God's servants may at times be brought into very low estate. God never once promises in His Word that such is the blessing of true religion that it somehow exempts believers from any adversity, at least adversity of the worst sort. There is no promise in God's Word that that will ever be the case. But although Christians are unique in that they belong to God, it is still true that they belong to mankind, and therefore they must share in the common lot of mankind, which is the lot of trouble and sorrow. Eliphaz, for whatever else he had wrong about him, he had it right when he said to Job that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. As it is common for sparks to fly upward, so trouble is common to all of mankind, including Christians. In fact, because they are unique as the people of God, because they are believers, they have additional troubles that the ungodly know nothing about. What does the ungodly know about what it is to sorrow over sin? Whether it's your own sin or whether it's sorrowing over the sin of others. What does the ungodly know about that kind of sorrow? What does the ungodly know about the sorrow that comes to the believer when he feels his prayers are shut out from heaven? What does the ungodly know about the affliction that comes when God brings his children into a raging fiery furnace? What does the ungodly know about being persecuted for righteousness' sake? What does the unbeliever know of the sorrow that comes from the chastening rod of a loving heavenly Father? I can assure you that while both Christians and non-Christians share the same lot as far as having troubles come their way, the child of God, because he is a child of God, has troubles that the ungodly know nothing about and can know nothing about. But the blessed truth is that the people of God have someone who balances their grief with his mercy. For every north wind of adversity that God sends into our lives, He will always eventually send the gentle south wind to ease the sorrow and the grief. Weeping may endure for a night, but for the child of God, joy cometh in the morning. It is only to the believer, to those described in Isaiah 61 as a people that mourn in Zion, it is to them alone that God promises to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yes, Christians have sorrows that the ungodly know nothing about, and they also have a comforter that the ungodly know nothing about for their sorrow. But there's something else that uniquely distinguishes the believer from the unbeliever when they are in the midst of trouble. And that thing is faith. And by faith, I'm not referring to that nebulous expression that lost people refer to when they speak of keeping the faith in times of trouble, or this notion that biblical faith is nothing more than just believing everything's going to be all right. It's not the faith I'm referring to that marks believers. By the faith of the Christian, I'm referring to the trust, the confidence in God, confidence in His ability to be and do what He has promised that He would be and do, and confidence that He is willing to be and do what He has promised to be and do to His people. Not only His ability, confidence in His ability, but confidence in His willingness. Christians are called believers because they believe in, they trust in, they depend on the Lord for their salvation and for everything else in life. That is what it is to walk by faith. But, and it's a big but, even the faith of the best of believers struggles at times to rest on the Lord and to wait patiently for Him. Even the best of believers struggles in exercising that faith that so distinguishes them from the ungodly. Even this David said one day in rank unbelief, I shall one day perish at the hand of Saul, even though God had promised to him that he would be the next king of Israel. Yet although our faith in God struggles at times, and at times we feel as if it has died out completely within us, the fact still remains that the Lord will do just as He has promised He would do, and He will be to us exactly what He has promised to be to us, in spite of the struggling weakness of our faith. From these two verses in Psalm 71, I want to speak to you this morning on the struggles and strengthening of faith in time of trouble. The struggles and strengthening of faith in the time of trouble. The first thing I want you to note from verse 20 is the pain that David felt in trouble. There's the struggling. The pain that David felt in trouble. I want you to notice how David expresses his grief, how he expresses his pain that these troubles were causing him. He says, Thou hast showed me great and sore troubles. The word troubles there means distress or straits. It has this picture of having trouble on every side, like being in a vise that is getting tighter and tighter, completely surrounded by trouble that's pressing in on him. On every level, it would seem that no matter where he turned, there was trouble in David's life. The word great in this particular form is a word that refers to a great number, a multitude, an abundance. So not did only he have trouble pressing in on every side, there were a multitude of troubles facing David. It's one thing to have a few trials along the way. It's something else entirely different when the troubles come in upon you like the waves of the sea, one on top of another with no let up at all. In Psalm 42, David uses this very picture to describe the number of his troubles. He says, All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Those are the very words of Jonah. When he was cast out of the ship into the sea, he said those same thing, that same thing. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. It's one thing to have a short pain, a shot of pain to your head. If you've ever had facial neuralgia, then you'll appreciate what I'm saying. It's one thing to have an occasional shot that comes to the side of the head, but when those shots of pain come every minute and they increase in intensity and there is no let up. It's a different set of pain altogether. Such was the pain of David's trouble. Again in verse 20, not only were his troubles many, but they were sore troubles. Notice how he's piling adjectives to describe under inspiration of the Holy Spirit just what kind of pain he was feeling at this time in his life. sore troubles. The word sore in the Hebrew usually is translated evil in the Old Testament. It can refer to moral evil, but it's also a term that is used to speak of calamities and afflictions. In those cases, the emphasis is upon the misery that the trouble brings. David is saying here that he was experiencing many grieving, distressing, and heart-wrenching troubles. David's saying, it hurts. And it hurts deeply. We see the effect of that this pain and trouble had upon David. At the end of verse 20, there he says that he will be brought up again from the depths of the earth. I want you to see the inference that has to be drawn from that. If he's to be brought up again from the depths of the earth, it means that this trouble has brought him down to the depths of the earth. A poetic expression to describe David at what he felt was his lowest point in the midst of the trouble. He was at his lowest point. His reference in verse 20 to being quickened, the word means revived, indicated that David, during his pain and trouble, felt great deadness. That was another effect it was having upon him. It was causing him so much grief. He felt great deadness. He needed reviving. He needed quickening. That implies there was deadness about him. He felt dead and lifeless in any exercise of grace in his life. It just wasn't there. What he knew he ought to be, how he knew he ought to act, he was not, because there was so much deadness in his life because of the trouble. It had that effect of deadening him. He felt dead and lifeless in his discharge of his duties before God. In other words, he prayed, but there was deadness in prayer. He knew he needed reviving. He knew his prayer life needed reviving. There was deadness in his worship, going about his duties as a child of God, but without really any life or love in them. There was this duty without the life of devotion. He was struggling. The pain was causing him to struggle. I want you to take a long, hard look at David in this state. He's in the depths. There's deadness in his soul. He confesses his need for God to quicken him, to be brought up out of the depths. His heart is filled with pain and misery. He's surrounded by trouble. Look at him. Just try to picture David in your mind. I gather, brothers and sisters, that the best and brightest of God's servants will find themselves at times surrounded by awful and unrelenting trouble. Spurgeon said that, I quote, overwhelming trials seem to come to those who are favorites of heaven, unquote. Overwhelming trials seem to come to those who are favorites of heaven. If it happens to the best and godliest of God's people, do not be surprised if it happens to you and me. Do not conclude that there is something especially evil about you, something wrong with you that has brought on such trouble, that has brought on such calamity, that finds you very heavy of heart and in great deadness of soul. Certainly do not conclude that you're not a child of God because of the trouble. That's exactly what Job's friends did to him when they saw him sitting on a dunghill and scraping his boils with a potsherd. They concluded that he was a real big sinner, that he was a hypocrite, That's why all this calamity had come into Job's life. That's why he was facing all of this trouble. Certainly it's because Job was doing something very wrong and kept it hidden from everybody. This was God's judgment. Don't be one of Job's friends to yourself. And certainly don't be that to others who are in the depths of trouble. Don't conclude that you aren't a child of God because the joys that you once had and the light that you once had and the peace that you once had is gone. Beware of living by your feelings, judging things by your feelings. That is so contrary to the walk of faith. It's a struggle with faith, mind you, but it's contrary to the walk of faith. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. And certainly that means not by feelings. We only increase our trouble when we do that. We increase our trouble when we walk by feelings. That's especially true in times of trouble when you are in the depths. You do not want to judge things by how you feel. I move on to note in the second place the providence that David saw in trouble. The providence that he saw. Again, verse 20, it says, "Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles." David acknowledges the hand of providence in his trouble. "Thou which hast showed me." Yes, there were many people, and yes, there were many events that played a part in the sore troubles that David was feeling that played a very real part in his pain, just like there is with you and me in our troubles. There are people and there are events that play very real parts in the pain that we feel. Certainly he had been persecuted by Saul. He had many great problems in his family. The incest of Amnon with his sister Tamar. And then Absalom murdering Amnon because he forced his sister Tamar. And then Absalom rebelling against his father David and trying to overthrow the kingdom. You talk about a man who had family problems. David had family problems. There is no doubt in my mind that his family problems caused him deep and sore pain. David had many, you can read his Psalms, David had many inward afflictions. He saw often the corruptions of his own heart. He saw his sin, he saw his failure. That caused him pain and trouble. He had the temptations of Satan and the flesh, just like all of us have had. As I was saying in the Bible class this morning, "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." These temptations are common to all ages and all mankind. We all face them, and David certainly faced them, and they were part. Yet, yes, there were many sources that David could look to for all of his sore troubles. He could have said it's Amnon or it's Absalom or it's this or it's that. But David, like Job, looked beyond the secondary causes and he saw the hand of God's providence at work in all of his troubles. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles. You've done this, Lord. Your providence, your creation, your rule over all your creation and all creatures and their actions, this has come from your hand. That's what Job did. Satan, in his attacks upon Job, was just a pawn, you see, in the hand of God. Just a pawn. Job didn't say the devil did this. The whole book is so clear. His wrestling was with God. He didn't look at the secondary cause. He looked at the first cause, knowing right well that nothing was going to happen apart from God's decree or God's permission. Nothing. None of the troubles could come to him apart from the Lord's hand. And that, I say, was a turning point for David. What a difference it made in how he viewed his trouble, his situation, his pain that was very real. God, David says, had showed him great and sore troubles. Great. It's interesting to read the verse that just precedes verse 20. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things. And you know, so often we think about the great things that God does and has done, and we somehow limit them to those great moves of God in revival, or the great things being His acts of healing the sickness, or the great answers to prayer that we've gotten. But David saw that some of the great things that God does involves sending great trouble into the lives of His people. Some of the great things that He does is to send great trouble into the lives of His people. I was reminded of Asaph in Psalm 107, where he speaks of the men who go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. He's referring to sailors. And then while they're on the ship at sea, there's some storm that comes up and the waves become like mountains and they toss the ship to and fro. And the psalmist Asaph says they reel to and fro and their hearts are melted because of the trouble that they're in. And he says they're at their wit's end. And then they cry to the Lord and He delivers them. You know, that is a very wonderful, poetical, spiritual picture of what happens to God's people when they are at the hand of God's providence brought to do business on the great waters, the great deep, the great troubles. Some of God's greatest business in our lives is done on the great waters of trouble and calamity. Some of His greatest business that He does in our lives is done on the great waters of great troubles, where we are reeling to and fro from the calamity. And the waves are dashing our little ship. And we think it's going to sink and never rise again. I'll tell you what, folks, it is then that you see God as a deliverer like you would never learn it otherwise. Calvin said in commenting on this text, we must be brought down even to the gates of death before God can be seen to be our deliverer. It seems that this is so often what it takes for us to see the greatness and the goodness of God. He must do great things in the realm of trial and trouble before we see that He is our only hope. And that He is full of pity and love and power. The apart from having to do business on the great waters and great trials. Those are just things that we assent to mentally, but we experience them. We really believe them. And as our faith struggles, we find that it's strengthened. I say again, David saw the providential hand of God in all that he was going through. There were a lot of secondary causes for the trouble, but ultimately this came from God to strengthen David, not to weaken him. He believed. Here's this faith. He believed that there was a sovereign God on the throne ruling over everything. John Gill commented, his experience of all which he ascribes, not to instruments or second causes, but to God himself, who had either laid them upon him or suffered them to befall him for wise ends of his glory and his servants' good. The hymn writer said, God is God. He sees and hears all our troubles, all our fears. Soul, forget not, mid thy pains, God o'er all forever reigns. Fear not death, nor Satan's thrusts. God defends in whom he trusts. Soul, remember in thy pains, God o'er all forever reigns. For this life's long night of sadness, he will give us peace and gladness. Soul, remember in thy pains, God o'er all forever reigns. That, I say, was the turning point in his struggles of faith with what God was doing. That's where he had to have his eyes fixed. Not on the people and not on the events, but on the God of all creation and the God of all power, the God of all mercy. He saw the hand of providence in it all. Thirdly and finally, the prospect of David's faith in trouble. The prospect of his faith in trouble. It is true that his faith was struggling. He was brought down to the depths. Deadness plagued him. Fear gripped him. Sorrow flooded his soul. But while his faith was being tested by God, while he was struggling in the midst of the trouble, God was strengthening David's faith the whole time. We don't like to struggle. Let's be honest. We don't like the trouble that makes us struggle. But you see, it is in the struggling of faith that the faith is actually strengthened. Your muscles do not get any stronger by not using them. It is when you use them that they grow, that they are strengthened. Lack of use, they become flaccid. You become weak. It's when you have to exercise that the strength comes. And have you ever tried, to learn to swim on land? Can't be done. You've got to be put in the water to learn to swim. It's in the swimming that you learn to swim. It's in the struggles of faith that faith is strengthened. And And it's in the deep waters in which the hand of God's providence places us that we learn to swim in the deep waters. You know what I think? We like the kiddie pool. You know what the kiddie pool is? It's down at the shallow end. It's safe. It's secure. But you know, to be able to swim, you've got to go into the deep waters. And the Lord is not going to leave us in the kiddie pool of life. He's not going to leave you with just this dog paddling in shallow waters. His providence is going to place you in deep waters. He's going to bring great troubles into your life. That your faith might be able to handle and grow in the great trials. You will never be able to deal with them unless you have to face them. Don't you understand now why Job said, "Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." There's a work that is done when your faith has to struggle and be tested. "Thou shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up." Listen to the voice of confidence. "Thou shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." So oftentimes, because we dwell at ease in Zion, we get so comfortable in life, our situation becomes pleasant to the flesh, and we like to live there. God says, "I'm not going to have it. I am going to shake their world up. I'm going to disturb their little comfortable nest." And so trouble comes. It comes from His hand. But faith that has been strengthened by seeing this is from the hand of God, faith says, "God's going to quicken me again. There's deadness in my soul right now, but God will not leave me there." The very one who sent this trouble is the very one who must take it away, who must deal with it, who must give me the strength I need to deal with the trial and the trouble. He's going to quicken me again. David was confident about that. David did not believe there is no end in sight. That's often what we think. There's no light at the end of this tunnel. There's no deliverance from my heartache and my sorrow. This is all I'm going to have to experience all my days. That's unbelief talking. Faith says, "No, He's going to quicken me again. He's going to increase my greatness. And where He has surrounded me with trouble, with sore and great trouble, He's going to surround me with comfort on every side." David is saying that in the midst of trouble. It mattered not how dark and dreadful the troubles were. David believed that God, he believed that God was going to deliver him. That He would not leave him to drown in his sorrows. Quite the contrary. David believed that his confidence in God, that He would revive him and bring him up from the depths, and believed that God would increase His greatness and comfort him on every side. That reference to being increasing in greatness, while it certainly has a reference to His greatness in his temporal world, in the temporal kingdom, because God defeated His enemies. But the greater reference is to increase in David's spiritual greatness. Isn't that really what you're after? An increase in your spirituality, that you might better glorify the Lord and enjoy Him. Through it all, David believed that God would deepen his spiritual life. that God would increase his faith through it, that God would increase his graces. Now, brothers and sisters, that took some confidence in certain things about the Lord. That's why I speak of the struggling and the strengthening of faith in trouble. There were three things at least three things about which David was confident in the Lord. Number one, he was confident in the wisdom of God. He knew that while he could not figure a way out, he did not have any exit strategy that would deliver him from his present circumstances, the sore great troubles. He was confident that God did have the wisdom. God knew exactly how to bring David out of his trouble. You know, God sends troubles in our lives to teach us that lesson, great trouble. Leaves us in places where we are completely perplexed and we don't see a way out. We don't see an answer. At that point in time, as our faith is struggling, our eye must be upon the Lord. I can't see how, but God is all wise, and I know He sees how it can be done. He sees exactly what will need to take place for me to be delivered from this state and to quicken me and to surround me with comfort. He knows everything that's got to be done. He knows every person that needs to be spoken to. He knows everything that every person needs to do. He knows how to fit all the pieces of the puzzle just in place so that He can deliver His child from the trouble. He knows how to do it. So it's all right then, isn't it, as long as God knows how to do it. I can have confidence in His wisdom. There's something else that David obviously had confidence in, and that was confidence in God's goodness. The thing that our faith struggles with is believing that this trouble is for our good. That which is causing us so much hurt, so much pain, that seems to have done so much damage, is actually for the good of His people. But how else can a good God work it for His people whom He loves? How can it be anything else but good come out of it? David was completely confident in the goodness of God, and that's why he was so sure that the Lord would revive him again and would deliver him and would just surround them with comfort. Does that mean, child of God, that believers never die in this world surrounded by trouble? No. That has been the lot of many a child of God. But oh, can you imagine what it was like to wake up surrounded in glory? Can you imagine? The third and final thing which David had confidence in that so helped his struggling faith when the trouble came was confidence in the faithfulness of God. It's a thing that Jeremiah, from his depths of despondency, wrote. Great is thy faithfulness. As the hymn writer put those words of Jeremiah, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You just look at your life. Do a little check now. Just look back. Look back at all the times you backslid. And yes, you did. Yes, you did. All the times your heart grew cold. All the times you stopped praying. All the times you stopped reading the Word of God. All the times you played the hypocrite. And God has remained faithful to you through it all. He's never quit you. He's never left you. No matter how great the trouble has been that you always think, you know, you've reached the worst. You've had the worst happen to you. And that God comes along and shows you something else. You thought you couldn't go any lower. But you went lower. You thought it couldn't be any more difficult. But it got more difficult. But look back. Through it all, He's been faithful to you. He's kept His covenant promises. He's been what He said He would be. And He's done what He said He would do. David was confident in that. And so he said, Thou shalt revive me. Thou shalt increase my greatness. Thou shalt comfort me on every side. That is biblical reality. That is the truth. And it's upon the truth and the truth alone that our faith must be built. Okay, now, what about those troubles you're facing? I know you've got them. I know you've got them. Don't know what they are specifically, but I know you've got them. Because that is our lot. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You find yourself, let's just be honest, let's take off the masks, if we have one on. Do you find yourself struggling right now? Just struggling to believe the Lord. Well, God has put you where you are. And He has brought into your life just what He's brought into your life just now, that trouble, however great and sore it is. And He will bring you out of it. He will. Because He said He would. And you will have comfort on every side. The Lord write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's all pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the word of God that comes like a drink of water to someone in a weary and dry desert. We thank Thee for Thy refreshing this day. Lord, I pray for Thy people. Lift each family here before Thee. And I pray that Thou wilt fix their eyes upon Thee. Take them off of their trouble. Keep the focus off of that, Lord, which only brings our pain. We pray, our Father and our God, that my people here, as they struggle on, they will remain unstaggered. They will trust in Thee. Believe Thy word. Come and deal powerfully with the folly we have of walking by our feelings and not by faith. Seal this word now to every soul. Depart us with thy fear and thy favor upon us. We pray it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen.